Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. On our journey through Genesis chapter 15, we are taking verses 2 and 3 together. This is the faith-filled complaint that Abram is making to the Lord in the vision. Thus far, we have considered the content of what Abram says from more of what we can call a spiritual perspective. What is the spiritual meaning? I hope you did not miss yesterday's broadcast and podcast. If so, go to godisministry.org and listen to it. I think you will find it instructive and helpful for you in taking your own complaints and lamentations before God. Today I want to begin to examine verses 2 and 3 from an historical or cultural perspective, still biblically based, of course. In fact, we will ease into this by going back to the Bible. This is how Genesis 15 verses 2 and 3 reads. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. I do not know about you, but when I read that, it strikes me that one of the key words is heir. H-E-I-R, heir. Not air, like we breathe, not hair, which is still on the top of some of our heads, but air, H-E-I-R. It is used twice in two verses. What is the biblical meaning of this word air? It means acquisition or possession. We can translate it as the possessor of my house. Acquisition or possession, the possessor of my house. Now, when I say heir, what comes to your mind? You might say a son, or a daughter, or a child. And you are correct. A more technical definition is this: a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Maybe you have written a will, and upon your death, your children will gather around as the executor identifies who receives your property, your money, and your valuables now that you are gone. To your eldest son goes the house. To your second child goes part of your money and your watch or collection of antiques. To your third child, the business, whatever the case may be. And on down, the executor reads child by child, grandchild by grandchild. Well, your child is your heir, or your children are your heirs, plural. Someone else might say, an heir? When I think of an heir, I think of an aristocrat or a member of the royal family somewhere who wants a male heir that will be next in line to be king. You might think of the Queen of England, Elizabeth, whose male heir, Charles, is now king. I am a quasi-royal watcher. Well, queen watcher. I have a lot of respect for Queen Elizabeth II. I find her life fascinating, and my understanding is that she is a genuine Christian who loved and served the Lord as she served the people under her very human rule. I think the world is already missing her. But as a genuine Christian with faith in Christ, to be absent from her body is to be present with the Lord. She's laying her crown now at the feet of Jesus. Many of you within the sound of my voice, when you were young and married, having a child, producing an heir was not a big deal. And if a daughter was born first, you rejoiced. If a son, you rejoiced. If you were unable to have children, you made peace with that, or perhaps you have adopted your heir. Your son or your daughter is very much your heir, even though they had a birth parent who is not you. Of course, there are those of you listening for whom having an heir, and specifically a male heir, is of uppermost importance in your life. Maybe you are Asian or Middle Eastern, and there is an expectation that you will procreate and produce a son, preferably your firstborn, a male heir. Do not assume this is a thing of the past. Whether it be a spoken or unspoken expectation, there remains the conviction in many cultures that having a male heir is essential to successful family life. Open your mind and widen your perspective by building friendships with people from other cultures who are not like you. Listen, observe, learn. The word heir means a lot, and this was the case with Abram and Sarai. These words of Abram's in verses 2 and 3 reveal that having an heir, having a child, is really very important to Abram. Being childless forms the crux of his complaint to the Lord. Maybe you are thinking having a male heir is not such a big deal to you, so why should it be a big deal to spend any time on verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 15? Surely we can blow right through this part of the chapter, right? Wrong. Nailing down the value of this heir is crucial not only historically and culturally, but also theologically, biblically. We need to know this in order to understand really the rest of the Bible. What this chapter does is set the stage for what is coming down the full length of the biblical text. Let me prompt your mind in that direction. Remember that God is the Father to His Son, Jesus Christ. God has an heir. His heir is Jesus Christ. As an heir inherits what belongs to the Father, so too Jesus inherits all things from God, His Father. That is what Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says. In these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son, whom God appointed heir of all things. There is that word heir again as applied to Jesus. He is an heir. And furthermore, amazingly, we Christians are heirs. We share in everything that the Son of God inherits. Listen to the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. We do not have time for a full exposition of this text, but notice that we are children of God. God is our Heavenly Father, and He has adopted us, making us His very own sons and daughters. And verse 17 says, because we are children, then we are heirs also. I love this. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Let me say it again so this sinks in. Christians, we are heirs. We share in everything the Son of God, Jesus Christ, inherits. Oh, heaven is going to be far more than we can even begin to imagine. Listen to 1 Peter 1, verse 4. You will obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. An inheritance comes to the heir, and each of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, the adopted sons and daughters of God, we will all inherit an equal share of God's imperishable and undefiled riches. Why should you care about Abram's struggle for an heir in Genesis? You should care, at least, because you are an heir, brother. You are an heir, sister. Everything in the Bible is connected to everything else in the Bible. It's just no good to skip any verse. And this matter of having a son, especially a firstborn son, an heir. We see how this matters the further along we read. Remember that from the covenant that God made with Abram, there will eventually be born a son in Bethlehem, the son who fulfills the covenant promises of God the Father, Jesus. Is it any wonder why Abram is pressing God, "Where is my heir?" It takes one to begin this cascading line of descendants that leads to Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I think you get my point. We have to grasp the meaning of an heir. The historic and cultural reality is that having specifically a male heir was essential in Abram's day. To emphasize this, I hope that you will join me on this tour back in time and into the culture dominating this part of the world. The very places where Abram and his family lived and among the very people who were his neighbors. This will involve unearthing some ancient tablets that attest to how urgent it would be for Abram and his wife Sarai to have a living, breathing male heir. And that deal with Abram's proposal that Eliezer be his heir. Understanding history and culture is essential to properly interpreting the Bible. All good Bible students are historians and anthropologists. I believe that. You, yes, you, an historian and an anthropologist. You pick up the scripture alongside us, you read it, and then you want to properly understand it, and so you begin a process of interpretation. And this means that, like me, like all of us, we have to turn to history. We have to turn to culture, to language, to people, and we bring together all of these disciplines that help us properly interpret the biblical text. Well, this will be fun, so join us right here tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.